Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. Monday, July 6th, 2020. Thank you for joining me today. Quite a bit to get into, actually. And there's quite a bit of foreign policy information as well that we're going to try to include today. Not just rattle off at the end, but really make a point to make sure we're aware these things are still happening. Things that we... I just did an amazing interview with Robert Inlakesh that I'll reference later in the show in regard to the Steal of the Century, which is his new documentary on the so-called Deal of the Century. There's a lot going on right now. Interestingly enough, as you are not going to be surprised to hear, a lot of it actually ties back to this main event that seems to be going on, which is important for us to understand. As I said in the beginning, seeing this how this coronavirus topic is just taking up everyone's attention, all the news coverage, but it's important to realize that this is a very, very monumental event. What's happening here, some may even call the end game, right? This is a really big deal. And this ties back into all of it, the foreign policy, the domestic policy, what they're trying to take away from you. So covering this in a sense is covering everything at the same time. But understand that does not mean we should be ignoring the atrocities taking place in Yemen, what's going on in Gaza, all the things going on around the world. Interestingly enough, James Corbett just did a great show or an article video about the UN declaring world peace. It's kind of a parody of what they said that, you know, world global ceasefire, except for everything the U.S. government is doing, is basically what they said, which is just a sick joke because those are the very people causing all the problems around the world. But at the same time, when they said global ceasefire and then Saudis kept attacking Yemen, and we don't care about that though, right? Because that's okay. Even though we didn't mention that, we won't talk about that one because that's a good guy for the US team. Just hypocrisy everywhere. But all of this ties back to what's happening because COVID-19 illusion is the whole point, in my opinion. Not to say that there's not many other agendas and multifaceted types of ideas underneath all of this, but I think the main point is, as we've all been pointing out, is to create this technocratic controlled society, which is what they've been documenting, talking about, saying we should need, trying to make justifications for about 30 years. I mean, or at least probably a hell of a lot longer. But let's just say since I've been doing this, it's been something that's been on people's minds and I've been paying attention to. Now, not only that in this, I think it's important for everybody to understand as we go through today. I'm going to go through a couple of other things that I've already talked about. Some things in regard to the masks and vaccines, but it's really, and the reason I'm going through some of the older stuff is to then finish with the new thing. But it's important to continue that people see that it's not just, oh, here's this one thing that challenges the narrative, but no, here's this one, this one, this one, this one, and this one, and then here's the new one. And that's not cherry picking when we have every single one led up to now, as well as the one in 2019, then 18, then 16, then 15, and they all agree. And then they pick out one thing and says, see, this is challenging. Oh, well, that's cherry picking, right? What we're doing is showing you the broad picture and letting you think for yourself. I know it's just crazy time, right? But I want to start off with a couple of two small things that that sets the stage for what we're going to get into today. Now, one is something that, you know, there's a reason I've been, for the most part, ignored because it's, the one thing I said about it a few shows back was it was just a ridiculous clown shoe, obvious fake news story stemming from two unsourced, unnamed, faceless American intelligence officials. How many times has that worked out for us, right? So at the very least, we should go, yeah, maybe this is Russiagate again. Maybe this is the lies about Syria. Maybe this is the lies about Bolivia. Maybe this is lies about everything they tell us, right? So that's just a joke that we would even pretend this is as real as they're making it out to be. But I want to start out with this. And this is for the people on the podcast. This is in regard to the Afghan Russia bounties on American story that's been, you know, they've been bleeding about and clutching their pearls. How serious this is. Now realize that regardless of real or not, and I'm not even saying I can tell you one way or the other. The point is that we should not be trusting these same people and the same nameless, faceless, sourceless to tell us things about their enemies. It's a joke. Is Russia capable of that? Of course they are. It wouldn't surprise me at all if they were doing that. It also wouldn't surprise me if the U.S. was doing the same thing in places over near them. The point is that this is a lie as far as it's being shown now. Let's be very clear. I think this is an absolute lie. Based on the information, it's even being challenged by their own people now. And I want this to reflect on everything that we've been talking about and everything that we get into in regard to trusting government officials and the intelligence community and, you know, politicized scientists, politicized doctors, and the people in any field, right? The point is you should be questioning all of them, ones that align with your narrative and the ones that don't. not just the ones you don't like to listen to. Now, as it says, according to two unnamed officials speaking to the Times, the memo said the CIA National Counterterrorism Center assessed with medium confidence, right? That was the story from the very beginning, that the GRU offered bounties to the Taliban. So it wasn't even a certainty. They said medium confidence, which means they don't know for sure. And yet all of the mainstream media went on crazy town about this, and Trump knew and he didn't do anything. So how did it jump from we're medium confidence to Trump knew and didn't do anything? Think about how crazy that is. And you know, it's the craziness like this of the two-party illusion that drives me to defend someone like Donald Trump, which I really don't want to do, because I think he's as much a part of the problem as anybody else we're looking at today. But honesty and truth matter. So when they're doing this, you need to realize that they're lying to you. And it's a joke. Okay, but as we go forward, assessed with medium confidence, it says, and it says there are three levels of confidence. This is important to understand. And this relates to everything we're talking about today, as well as Russiagate in particular. Not that we're talking about that today, but, you know, the overall discussions and things that are shown to be false. It says there are three levels of confidence: high, moderate, and low. According to a document from the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, the DNI, which most people aren't even really aware of, which I recommend you look further into. It's just as nefarious in my eyes as any of the others that we would talk about, maybe even more. But it says it was a moderate confidence level, which is what the CIA and NCC gave to the bounty intel, according to the Times. And this means, quote, that the information is credibly sourced and plausible, but not sufficient quality or corroborated sufficiently to warrant a higher level of confidence, meaning they barely even corroborated the story. It's just plausible. And yet the mainstream just ran with this as absolute fact. Now, alternatively, you can have things like 20 plus whistleblowers in the OPCW, a person from Newsweek, a person from BBC, defectors all across the board, all saying that the Duma was a false flag. I mean, they lied about it, and the U.S. used it to bomb people, and they go, no, fake news. We're not even going to listen to that. Despite there being literally nothing to challenge that except other people saying, you're lying. Yet they're more than happy to shout about this. What does that show you? Not only about the intelligence community, but the media that panders to them. Now, it says a low level of confidence, which the NSA and possibly other intelligence agencies gave to the bounty intel. They didn't tell you that part. Well, some of them might have, but the NSA from the very beginning said this was low confidence, meaning they barely even thought it was real. That means that, quote, that the information's credibility and or plausibility is questionable, or that the information is too fragmented or poorly corroborated to make solid analytic inferences, or that we have significant concerns or problems with the sources. Even high confidence is not a fact or a certainty. And this is according to the intelligence community. So just realize how crazy it is that this is the kind of thing that is used politically. Now ask yourself, do you think they would do the same thing about, I don't know, virus discussions or any other thing that might be sold to you as the most important thing in the world at the moment? The Times story corroborates a report from the Wall Street Journal that said the NSA strongly dissented from the intelligence agency's assessment. The official said the NSA assessed that the intelligence report on the bounty intelligence does not match